Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. The bad seed, a broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Ferrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just went to bed, but not before she snapped off a couple of five-footers of the hybrid cam OG in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, ready to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flats and floods of body of rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, the tides are tattered, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Ferrell with Carver High tonight. The number's toll free. 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. And I'm watching the Bucks shred the Nets. I can't even believe how badly they are kicking their ass. I mean, it's just inexplicable. Can you explain to me, Carver High, what's happening here? I know you're into the Islander game, but in all reality, you got both games going. Are you even believing that they're getting pasted like this? I mean, they are getting their ass beat.
Absolutely beat all over the place. And Giannis is just Giannis is doing whatever he wants tonight. It's just one of those nights where the Nets have zero answer for Giannis. And they're running out of time. I mean, this you want to say the game's over? I mean, it's pretty close.
You know who is really bothering me tonight watching this game? I got to tell you, is Joe Harris sucks. He's not a money player. You know what he is? He's a November, December, January superstar. That's what he is.
Real bad series.
You know, he's the guy that shows up in the regular season hitting threes, leads the league in three percentage, can hit every shot in the book. And then when it's money time, he can't hit the ocean from the beach. Have you ever seen a guy brick as much as him? Honestly, he's one of six from three tonight. It was just as bad in the games in Milwaukee. He was so bad in Milwaukee. Do you remember last night I was talking to Greg Logan, right? So of Newsday covers the team. And I'm sitting there talking to him about it. And I'm like, this guy has been an atrocity. He has got to have a game. He's got to show up and hit some threes. They've got to get 14 or more from him. This guy has 3 points. He's one of nine from the floor. He's an absolute atrocity. He cannot be on the floor. They got to get him off the floor. Shamit just hit a three. Leave him in. I'll take anyone that can hit a shot. You know what I mean? You're getting your ass beat. I'll take anybody that can hit a shot right now. Anybody that can hit the broadside of a barn, sit the F down. I mean, this guy Harris is a piker. That's all there is to it. It's been every single game, the two in Milwaukee, and then now back in game five. Now, remember, I heard Logan told me last night, if he hits the three in game, I guess it was game three, right? If he hits the three at the end of the game, the Nets win the game. Instead, they lose by three, right? Then game four, he was terrible. Game five, he's been even worse. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the Bench with Carver High. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. Anyway, I can't even take it anymore. Sit the F down. You suck. I mean, big games, money games, playoff games. This is the second season. You know, this isn't, you know, like the NBA and NHL regular season is meaningless. Major League Baseball, meaningless. All that matters is the money time, playoffs, right? When the games count, when everything matters is the playoffs. You're in the second round. You're the NBA's leading three-point shooter. Don't get me wrong. He's no Steph Curry. But he led the league in field goal percentage from three, right? How is that, Carver High, explainable to me? Somebody tell me. Tell me how this guy can't hit a shot. Explain that to me. Is there any way you can explain it to me? I mean, this guy,
No. He
couldn't hit a shot right now if the basket was the size of a Ford Expedition. Honestly, if the hole was that big.
I cannot explain it. That's a big no. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Sometimes guys just, they can't get it done in a big spot. And he's had an awful, awful series for the Nets. Awful.
How about Harden? He's 1 of 8 from the floor, 0 of 6 from three, 3 rebounds, 5 dimes. He just hit an and one that gave him his 3 points. Other than that, he would have been 0 for 9. I mean, why even play if you're this bad? Why play? I mean, he's obviously not himself. He's out there trying to be tough guy. You know, Willis Reed, he's trying to play the tough guy role. Like, I'm going to show these fans that, you know, I'm not a wussy. I'm going to show up and play game five. And he's been completely worthless. Meanwhile, the guy's played 29 minutes and done nothing. Can you explain that to me? I mean, honestly, I'm losing my temper over here, Carver High. I'm absolutely losing my temper. Going to the third, 2-1 Tampa over the Islanders. Honest to Christ, you didn't even see it, how bad he is. I'm telling you, they are asking to lose with this guy, Joe effing Harris, on the floor. He is so effing white. They just had a holiday brick three, and they don't get the rebound. They get the long rebound, blow it. Now they lose another rebound. They're going to call travel on Giannis because he did travel. They can't get a rebound in this game, right? So they missed the 3 rebound on the long rebound, and Tucker runs over to the sideline, saves it. They get a, and then they go down to get a bucket, and instead, the ball's deflected away. The ball bounces all over the place. Connaughton has it. He loses it. It throws it back toward the lane. In the lane, standing all by himself, defending his basket, is Joe Harris. No one around him for 5 feet. Ball goes right in his hands, right at his D. Right in the middle of his onions. The ball's right in his hands. And he fumbled it and gave it back to the Bucks, and they got a basket. I mean, he's like, here, you take it. I don't want it. Here, have a basket, too, while you're at it. I'm surprised they didn't get an and one. Now they're down 5, 79-74. So things have tightened up in Brooklyn. By the way, we'll get into the hockey game, but the Lightning, oh, now he hits a three, Giannis. Unbelievable. Guy can't hit a free throw, but he hits threes. Can you even go figure? The guy can't hit a free throw, but he can hit threes. It is amazing to me. That is amazing. The guy can't hit a free throw, but he can drop bombs from three. So 3-1 Lightning, we'll get into that. I don't want to get into that right now. I am just sitting here going, what in God's name is this guy doing on the floor with all of his bad luck? Joe Harris. I'm done with him. My God, is this guy bad luck. He can't hit a shot. And I know I think he got a layup before. It was a miracle that he made the layup, too, because he sucks so bad. He's so awful that I figured he'd miss the wide-open layup, but he actually put it down. Nice job, Joe. That only took 5 games. Honestly, he's bad effing luck. That's what he is. He's bad luck. Trust me when I tell you. So I can't even look at him. I can't even look at him, let alone put up with him with his pathetic 2-for-10 and 5 points. He sucks so bad. The guy's played 30 minutes and he has 5 points, honestly. And he's supposed to be a scorer. You know what they say? Shoot or shoot. Yeah, here's an idea. Timeout. Don't shoot the ball anymore, dude. Just give it up. Set screens. Do something. Meanwhile, they got him out on the floor the whole game. They're just hoping he can turn it on. Watch, he'll hit the game-winning shot. I know this much. When I watch the game, I'm amazed at how Milwaukee's moving the ball, getting good looks, getting good shots. And the whole game, they were shooting like 60% from the floor, killing them, shooting 56%, killing them. And now all of a sudden, you know, they're melting down. It's basically they're melting down.
They really have. They're kind of melting down in a similar way that the Sixers did last night. I mean, just the big lead, early second half, and they've completely melted it away.
They can't blow this. I mean, bottom line, it's 82-76. Here's Scott Foster blowing his whistle again. Oh, this guy, I can't even look at him. I can't even look at him. You know what it does? It gives me agita. I can't even look at that ref. I hate him so bad. I think he's the worst ref in all of sports. In all of sports. Every sport in the world. Put them all together, he's the worst. He's the worst ump, ref, or official I've ever seen in my life. And then the problem I have with it is these guys like Marv Albert and Kevin Harlan and Ian Eagle giving this guy, you know, 15 on their knees every time they see him. Drop and give me 15 quality minutes down south. That's what they're doing. I can't even take it. And you know I'm right, Carver High. When is the last time you turned on an NBA game with him reffing that they didn't, you know, lick his lollipop all night?
It's been a very long time.
I mean, that's all they do.
He's awful. He's one of the
worst.
But
they talk about how great he is. All these announcers talk about how great he is. It's a 6-point game.
I guess Scott buys him a good steak dinner and a scotch when back in the day when they were all on the road and everybody was allowed to go to bars together.
Speaking of scotch. Scott Drags. Anyway, my buddy, I told you, remember I told you last week I had the water heater fail at the Ferrella Palatial?
Yes.
So my buddy is a plumber, but he does 3 from Harden brick. So, and Harden's just not himself at all. I mean, honestly, it's just so embarrassing watching this game tonight with this injured guy out there trying to perform at his level, and he can't at all. Oh, and now the and one on a Giannis drive. They get the call. It's amazing to me how they're getting all the effing calls, too, in Brooklyn. I've never seen anything like it. I told you on Coast to Coast 1,000 times that the Nets would finally go home and get some calls. They're getting no calls.
Nope.
None. So anyway, here's the deal. My buddy, he does mostly like big condo buildings. He doesn't do like homes. He's a plumber, but he does like giant apartment condos and stuff like that. So in big, you know, buildings. Anyway, he's pretty big and whatever. So he turned me on to a local guy that's a friend of his that does like, you know, homes and stuff. And so this dude came over and I knew the dude. He plays basketball. He used to play basketball with me in our league. So I knew the guy. I just didn't know that he was actually a plumber too, right? And my guy came over and fixed the entire thing same day. Same day service, like my water heater started leaking. And then I said, listen, bro, my water heater's leaking. When do you think it'll blow? And the guy's like, it could blow at any time. Just get it fixed. You know, change it out. So my guy comes over same day, takes out the old one, which was just a scene in itself, getting that thing drained and then out of the house. Then he brought a new one in. Put it in, installed it, did the whole thing, done, brand new, boom, even a bigger tank. Everybody's happy. So I got the guy the guy that turned me on to him. Now, that guy I tipped out, right, and paid him a lot of money. The other guy, I got him the bottle of Bullet. Have you ever drank the? Oh,
yeah, the Bullet's no joke. Bullet's a good.
I got him the.
That's.
I got him the Bullet. I got him the biggest bottle of Bullet I could find, and I showed up at basketball this weekend with a bottle of Bullet for him. He almost fell over. And no glory here for me, just that when you mentioned scotch, I thought, wow, you know, what I do is typically, as you know, Carver, I've done that, I think, before on some of your birthdays. I bring you bottles of liquor.
Correct.
I think it's important to celebrate one's special days with bottles of, you know, expensive booze that people like to drink, you know, whether it's your vodkas, whether it's your scotches, whether it's your bourbons or your Irish whiskeys. Here's your boy, Joe Harris. Airball, airball. He just shot a three airball and he's laughing. He's actually laughing. He thinks it's funny. At the end of the third, the guy had a wide open three. He shot an airball and he's laughing. Is he getting paid by
somebody? He thinks
somebody,
it's funny.
Is what I want to know. Because I just saw him shoot an airball and laugh about it. He's laughing at it, this guy. This piece of shack. Honestly, I can't even look at him. I can't even look at him. I think my beard's growing as I look at him. I got hair growing in my face.
Despite how bad Joe Harris has been, we at least have a game here. The Nets are back in the mix going to the fourth quarter because I thought this game was over at halftime. I thought it was over.
I thought it was over, too. They're down six at the end of three. You know, if they get some stops and some calls, they can win this game. Do you think they can get it done?
I think the Nets are going to win.
Oh, listen to Carver High going out on a limb. He's absolutely going for the Nets. I have the Nets in four, by the way, so I'm down two. I'm all about the number. What do we got, Haro coming up? Hopefully we'll be able to hear him this time, unlike today on TV. All right, for all events, so Carver High is, he's very upset tonight because he's trying to bring Brooklyn home. They're down 91-87 early in the fourth, but the Lightning are up 4-1 now on the Islanders in game two at Amalie in Tampa. So that series will be 1-1. My point is that I think the game, you know, indicates to me that it's going to be a great series. There's five games left. Somebody's got to win three. And now you're going to the barn for the next two. And it's the same thing there. Tampa needs one. And the Islanders would love to get two at home. And every series they've had to go win game five on the road and win game six at home. And it smells like that to me already. So, you know, I won't be surprised at all if they split in Long Island. And then the Islanders go back to Tampa in game five and win again and then win it in six. That's what I think they're going to do, all three series. It smells like the same formula to win for me along the way. We'll get into it. But the guy that knows best is at Amalie tonight. Rick Haro, our sports business legal and hot dog insider on Sports Grid and on Coast to Coast for All on a Bench, is with us from Tampa tonight where he went to game two. And it was, you know, a really good game after the first period. It was tied up, Rick. And then I actually, you know, to be honest with you, I thought the go-ahead goal by the Lightning in the second period, I think we all know what happened was simple, is that Palat's goal at 13 minutes of the second period should not have counted because there was too many men on the ice. It was an illegal goal, and that's just all there is to it.
And nobody talked about it up in the press box. Not that Tampa Bay was a homer press box, but, you know, you're right about that. Everybody was complaining about the goaltender interference call in the first that led to the Islanders' goal. And that's all subjective. I mean, you really can't tell. I will say that I've been in loud arenas before, and I haven't been to a Vegas pregame playoff opening kind of ceremony. But it doesn't get any better than what they did in Tampa. It was like 15, 20 minutes of pyrotechnics. And then, by the way, Brady was cheering up the crowd. and I did a little interview with the Boston station at the end of the second, and they're all upset. Well, you know, get a life. I mean, Brady's now a Tampa person, not a Boston person. So everybody's getting stirred up in Tampa. The arena was rocking. It's amazing how in just a short period of time, we're going 100% capacity in Florida. It was easy to do because we knew the governor was going to do it. But a couple of masks, and, you know, if you're double vaccinated, you feel protected anyway. But I can guarantee you the kind of mask request wasn't followed. Everybody was hyped up in that building. And it's over. I left early because I want to make sure I don't screw this one up for you. And it's fine. All good in Tampa.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Hold on. Let me ask you this question. So you're telling me that Tom Brady was at the game and got everybody all riled up, and that you did an interview in Boston, and the people in Boston are mad at Tom Brady after he won them 6 Super Bowls, and then he would do what anyone that is sane would do, including me. If I was afforded, and you know I've lived down there, and I've had a place down there for 45 years, and if I was afforded tomorrow the opportunity to move to Tampa, Florida, and to live in a $20 million mansion, and to have a $7 million yacht, and have a smoke show supermodel wife worth billions, and lay out at my pool and at the beach all day and play and win Super Bowls in Tampa, who in their right mind wouldn't do that? Name one person on the face of the earth that would turn that down. Not me.
Yeah. Yeah, nor me. And, you know, Brady, he wasn't at the game, but he did a pre-playoff video that they show at the end of every period and get all jazzed up. And so that's what the people in Boston were upset about. Nobody really cares how they feel about all of this, right? I mean, that's the bottom line of it. He's doing the right thing. He's also getting civically involved. He's into literacy with the governor and the first lady. He's into a lot of Tampa charitable things. He's supporting all of the teams. You know, why wouldn't you be excited about that stuff? And the guy's timeless. He deserves it. He did his he paid his dues in Boston.
He didn't go
People
to the
may
game.
Not like it, but that's life.
He didn't go. He didn't go
no,
to
he
the
wasn't
game.
There. I didn't know.
What a poser.
He was not there.
What a poser. You got to go to the
he
game.
Was
you,
not...
cannot, you cannot do a get the fans riled up video like you're on Instagram when you live in Tampa. He needed to go to the game tonight. I don't care what anybody does. You cannot get the fans riled up on video like you're, you know, Jack Nicholson doing it for the Lakers while he's filming in Cannes. I mean, come on. That's as cheesy as it gets.
Yeah, well, this took a little bit of an interesting turn with you with turning on Brady. But I will tell you this. He did fire the crowd up, whether he was there in person or not. He's such a cult hero in Tampa now that it worked because everybody got crazy at the end of the intermission. So, you know, maybe he is off, you know, raising money for charity. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
I don't...
He's off raising money for charity. Carver, how did you hear him? He's off. He's off.
Well,
he's off gallivanting, raising money for charity. You know what he's doing? Carver, I just figured it out. Tom Brady actually has...
I know what you think he's doing. I don't want to know.
I'm getting a report right now, and it's coming into the Pharrell Spew newsroom right now. Tom Brady has rescued the $15 million worth of Girl Scout cookies in storage in Atlanta. He's going to be delivering those cookies to homeless children all over the world.
Yeah.
Like Santa Claus starting tomorrow.
He was going to go on a diving expedition in case Gronkowski didn't catch the Super Bowl trophy he threw out there in Hillsborough River. And all the Girl Scout cookies are buried at the bottom of the sea. So he was rescuing
them. Wait a minute.
That was a very good
point.
Good news.
Wait a minute. I forgot there was a river in Tampa, the Hillsborough River. Yeah, is that like the Hackensack River in New Jersey where they put all the bodies?
Yes, but it's not in Jersey. It's the Hackensack River, except it's not in Jersey. That's the geographical lesson for the night.
All right, very good. Just so we're clear, in terms of the game, here's what happened. Oh, by the way, the Nets lead now 97-96 in this wild game with 7:45 left at the Barclays Center. And they were down 16 at the half, and they're now winning by one. And the game's getting very chippy. Palat gave them the go-ahead. That would be the game winner. Ruda made it 3-1, 2:16 into the third.
Yep.
And then in the fourth goal, Hedman on the power play from Stamkos and Kucherov, 9 minutes into the third. I have to tell you, Kucherov assisted on points goal, Palat's go-ahead game winner, and the fourth goal. Kucherov's passing tonight was sick. His pass to point for the first goal was like the net, in front of the net. That was brilliant. So, all right, let's talk about we have a lot of things to talk about with the 15 since we didn't get to do it today. Let's start with the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. What's the difference in terms of the last time they had it there in 08 as to what they're having now?
Well, they don't have as many fans and they don't have as much media. It is coming back. Gavin Newsom decided 100% capacity, lifting all the restrictions. Just a month ago, they were not in lockdown, but pretty close. And now you can have whoever you want, thank the 18 million people who got the vaccines in California. And we're talking about $150 million of economic impact, which is pretty good. They're sold out the suites. They sold out the crowd capacity. And, of course, with Phil and maybe the cage match between Koepka and DeChambeau, how about that? We don't know what the pairings are yet, but I talked to some people and asked whether it might make sense to pair DeChambeau and Koepka. Could, you know, major champions. I'm not sure if the USGA would have the guts to do that, but I'd watch it.
Well, they've already declined that. At first, the story was DeChambeau said he wouldn't play with him, and then so they're not paired at all. Then they said that DeChambeau said he never said that. He never declined. He claims he didn't say that and that he never said he wouldn't play with him. And I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. I do believe.
Yeah, can't completely, get out of the way. Totally agree.
I think he did say he doesn't want to play with him because he can't stand him. They hate each other.
Yeah, that's a very interesting. I don't think there's been this hatred on the tour in a long time. I don't think. You know, there was a conversation about Jack and you know, Tiger not getting along, and Jack and Arnie. They respect each other professionally, and then Tiger and Phil. There's no hatred there. You know, you might not get Christmas cards from each other, but this is hatred. This is really hatred. It would be a thing to see the cage match. It's and people, you know, some people think it's not dignified. I think it's great.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to get into the rest of the 15 to watch. Shamet with a bucket, now Brooklyn by three. By the way, remember, Carver High, I called Tucker would be in foul trouble in this game. He's got five, and they called an offensive foul on the Nets that would have given him his sixth, but they called it on the Nets. Otherwise, he would have been out already, but he's trying to defend Durant with five fouls. I think it's a near impossibility. They have to go at Tucker. Get him out of the game because the guy's a great defender and he's very physical. Get him out of the game. We're talking to Rick Haro on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. By the way, Barzal scored on a rebound. It's 4-2. The Lightning are up with 2 minutes left in the game. In Tampa, so Tampa trying to close it out. And Barzal made it a two-goal game. I mean, pull the goalie. Let's go. Let's see what you're made of here. You're down two. Do it now. What are you waiting for, Utopia? So here we go. And the Bucks-Nets finish is going to be insane with 5 minutes left. We're talking to Rick Haro. Let's pick it up with baseball and the advocacy group in Atlanta that's seeking a $1 billion payback after they moved the All-Star game to Coors Field in Colorado and screwed over everyone in Atlanta based on the response to Georgia's controversial new voting law, which basically is set up so that people aren't allowed to vote. I mean, what they've done is they're going to make everyone, including 90-year-old ladies, stand in line in 100-degree heat to vote. There's no more early voting or anything else in Georgia because they don't want Democrats in the White House like they have right now because the people in Georgia still think that Donald Trump is president. I got that about right, Rick?
Well, there's a lot of stuff in there that we'll just kind of not talk about because we don't have a whole lot of time for it. But the question you asked me was about the lawsuit that was involved in all of this. So let's remember, Major League Baseball pulled the game and took it to Denver. And in 3 weeks, we have the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game with the Colorado Rockies hosting it. Bernie Marcus, who is Arthur Blank's partner, co-founder of Home Depot, filed $100 million regular compensatory damages and $1 billion punitive damages on behalf of his company that creates jobs for small businesses in Atlanta. And he said, basically, pulling it out really impacts these jobs and we shouldn't have pulled them out, and talked about economic impact of the prior All-Star game, what the impact was. So the damages are pretty provable, and the guy's spending a lot of money to prove that baseball shouldn't have done what they did. Now it's going to go to court. It's going to take a while. But this is a very significant lawsuit.
How about the men's and women's hall at the French? $1.7 million each for the winners. That's pretty nice cash to win on the red clay.
Yeah. Now, can you pronounce the two women who were in the finals? Let me see what kind of sports guy you are. They're both Ova. But
well, I just know Krejcikova won it, and she was unseeded.
Yeah, good. All right, that's good. And then there's another Ova who might have won, but she didn't. So that was good. Most of the people I've talked to in the last couple of days haven't the foggiest, which, of course, is a problem with women's tennis, because if you're not Coco Gauff or you're not Venus Williams or Serena Williams, we don't follow them in the United States. That's wrong, but that is fairly accurate. On the men's side, that was one of the best matches you could ever see, especially that third set with Nadal, and then Tsitsipas almost pulled it out. It's $1.7 million on both sides. The French Open didn't have the superstars at the end of it, but certainly did come on strong, and they back pretty hard after COVID, and they're off and running.
Nice job by the Oklahoma women's softball team winning the national championship. They were in a hole in that final, and they came out of it and won it.
And they did it in Oklahoma City, which is even more important. They've got a great building. They've got a great plan. University of Oklahoma excels in so many sports. Kudos to Joe Castiglione, Fort Lauderdale guy, by the way, who's been AD at Oklahoma for years. And this is what he has to show, a really good sports program and a great softball team.
How about Brandon Moreno, first Mexican ever to win a championship in the UFC? And it was quite an event in Arizona. They made a lot of money there, too, at that arena.
Yeah, we talked about that, and I pulled it out because I thought it was pretty significant because of the Mexican heritage and winning at the UFC level. And the guy's going to be a superstar in his own country, and I think he's endorsable. He's already getting some significant endorsements, and he's doing really, really well. And it was a huge event and a great made-for-TV event. We've had some clunkers recently in the fight world. As we know, this was not that.
He's sponsored by the Sinaloa cocaine cartel. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there you go. No taxes. You got to wear it on your back. Got to wear a tattoo on
I'm
your
just
back.
Kidding.
Very well done.
Sinaloa is a beautiful area.
Yes, you are.
The NFL looking to Germany to expand its international horizons.
Yeah, I remember when Oliver Luck was the commissioner of the World League of American Football, and what were the big markets? They were London with the London Monarchs, and Shad Khan is bringing the Jacksonville Jaguars there for a few games. And the Rhine region of Germany around Dusseldorf, the Rhine Fire, Berlin Thunder. A lot of it's the expats who stayed in Germany and follow football. So Mexico, yes. Obviously, some Canadian exhibition regular season games. The Bills played there. Not going to happen in the future. England, Germany, maybe Australia. They're even thinking about flag football in China again. NFL not going international for expansion, but wanting to expand their marketability.
Yeah, they're doing a great job of it. Before long, my season tickets for the Steelers will have no home games. They'll play all of them in different countries. There'll be no more games in the United States if Roger Goodell has his way. Keep expanding everywhere else except here. Nice job, Raj. Mark Ingram, the second, buying a piece of the D.C. United, the running back of the Texans. I was surprised at that.
Well, but here's the even more surprising thing. Will you take his piece and you prorate it based on the value, then the value was $30 million or so a few years ago when Jason Levien bought a piece of DC United. Now, piece is worth, if it were 100%, over $700 million. So, look, the MLS is making a lot of money, a big deal in Houston that valued the franchise with an ownership change, expansion in Cincinnati, in Nashville, in a lot of cities. So Don Garber doing a real good job. And now we wait for the next TV contract because, you know, women World Cup, a big deal, but men not going to the Olympics. Let's see what happens with the World Cup in Qatar because the men need to step it up.
All right, Servin Vali, Cameron Kinley tried to get the Navy to let him play in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's an undrafted rookie, was not in the draft, signed a deal with Tampa, and the Navy is not allowing him to play football. He's got to serve his time in the Navy. Do you think if he was drafted, they would have done the same thing?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out because nobody's given any adequate answer to that. And Napoleon McCallum and the kid Perry who plays in the Dolphins. Look, Navy has come up with some really great players, all of whom, almost since Roger Staubach, have gone right into the NFL and then paid their debt to the Navy later. This a little perplexing because I think that's the only reason that he wasn't drafted. And that shouldn't be the standard. You know, if you make a team, you ought to be held to the same standard as all the other guys.
SoFi Stadium naming rights deal, when it's all said and done, is going to be worth $625 million.
That's a lot of money. So first of all, the core deal is from 2020 to 2040. So that's 20 years at $30 million a year. That's where you get your $600 million. And then the other dollars are basically sponsorships, suites, seats, advertising. You know, if you're going to spend $600, you're supposed to spend $625. And SoFi has set the standard. And guess what? Next year's Super Bowl at a beautiful stadium. We got to go there, by the way. We'll go to Allegiant and we'll go to SoFi. We'll take a tour of it because you need to see it.
So the NHL gets a clean bill of health in Canada. So they'll have the Vegas Montreal series at the Bell Center.
Yeah, but we may not go back. The Canadians, you know, may not go back to Vegas because that may be a sweep. You know, you never know. But Gary Bettman did a really good job of dealing with the health officials. And, you know, within a week of when it mattered, he announces the deal that there is trans-border opportunities. Now, Prime Minister Trudeau is talking about opening the border within the next month for recreational travel. So everything else may not be relevant. But if he doesn't, what happens at the beginning of the season with the Raptors and what happens for the rest of the season with the Blue Jays? We'll just have to figure it out.
So the Sharks are accepting cryptocurrency.
Yeah, the Sharks are going to do it. The Kings have done it. The Mavericks are doing it. A lot of the A's sold a suite in crypto. Look, I'm not an investment advisor, but I'm a little concerned with anything that risks Elon Musk getting up at the wrong side of the bed and saying, you know, I don't know if this thing's going to work, and then it drops 40%. And then I know it increases, but, you know, check your local financial advisor. I'm still not sure that's the wave of the future, but a lot of teams are trying to figure it out.
The All-Star game for the MLS will be in Los Angeles.
Yes, it will, and they're trying to capitalize on Tinseltown. And between the Galaxy and the Bank of California Stadium as well, you got two new stadiums. Carson's old, but it's soccer specific. You got two new two stadiums. You got all-star opportunities. We talked about the MLS, and it's a big deal because the all-star game, unlike last year, we have a big celebration in July, and the world of soccer will focus, at least in the U.S., on the all-star game in the MLS.
How about, of all the gaming stories, the Team SoloMid, ranked the most valuable esports organization in the world, cut a huge 10-year deal, over $200 million with FTX. Boy, that's enormous.
Well, but remember who FTX is. That's the company that's spending the $150 million on the name of what used to be American Airlines Arena in Miami. Now it has FTX. It gives the Miami Commission, Dade County, a chance to spend some money on social stuff. but it also means that it's going to fuel this particular esports team with a whole lot of developmental money, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, Todd Marinovich's dad put a football in his left hand. We ought to have future kids. Note to self, take computers when your kids are in cribs and put it right next to the brain. See if it helps you be an e-sport player.
Major League Baseball revealed plans to work with its clubs to offer incentives for unvaccinated fans through a new program called MLB Vaccinate at the Plate, trying to get people to get shots at the stadiums.
Yeah, get shots at the stadium. They're offering discounts. The Reds offer discount tickets, but, you know, how about a good team offering discount tickets? There will be some. There's a lot of opportunities to go to the stadiums, get the shots, and then get rewards. Some are offering free beer. Some are offering free meals. Some are offering cash. But everybody's trying to get people vaccinated because we understand that is the next big step over the next year. And if you talk about 100% capacity, you got to talk vaccines.
Rick Harrow tonight from a yacht in the Hillsborough River, broadcasting live on The Bench with us on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, and Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Mr. Harrow, thank you. We'll see you next week.
All right, 4-2. I guess the Lightning held on, holding on. Yeah, we'll see you next week.
They won the game. Series tied it once. Now we're watching the end of the Bucks and Nets, 106-104. Giannis at the line, down to minute 14 left. And we know he has problems shooting free throws. This is Pharrell on a Bench. All right, Pharrell on a Bench. Middleton now drops it in. Turnover. Turnover and the foul on Middleton. Go to the line. It's 109-107, and the Nets are going to the line. And boy, does Giannis' face say it all. They just turned the ball over. Middleton driving on Durant, and they passed it to Giannis, and he dropped it and lost it. It was all on Giannis. He dropped the pass. It was right in his hands. Bottom line, it's his fault. He had it. It was a clean pass. And he had the ball, and he dropped it, and it went between his legs, and the Nets stole it. Now, Durant's at the line. He's got 46, 16, and 10. 47 makes the free throw. Now they're up three. Make another one. It's a two-possession game. But there's 15 seconds left. In the NBA, that's like a lifetime. That's as long as going back to World War I. I mean, honestly, 15 seconds in the NBA. The guy's got 48, 16, and 10 tonight. Your boy, KD, getting involved. Giannis, end-to-end, he's fouled by Harden. That's a clean foul. Milwaukee's in the bonus. They're going to send him to the line again. Your boy that can't hit free throws. Let's take a look at what he's doing in this game, free throw-wise. Giannis is 3 of 5 from the free throw line. It's not that bad. They're trying to get the crowd involved. And they're trying to get the crowd to make him. They're trying to make him miss. I just saw a couple of hotties in the crowd. I just saw a really strong recruiting effort. First free throw, made it. It's 111-108. What a game. I'm losing weight over here. I might cable in my trousers. Can you say that on the radio? 12 and a half seconds left after the second free throw from Giannis. Pharrell on the Bench.